Broadcasting from First Assembly of God, this is First AG Podcast.
You would turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. We're going to start in Genesis, probably end in Revelation. I hope you packed the lunch. I'm kidding. That's not true. While you're looking that up, please make sure you read through your bulletin, man. If you're a guest, we would love to have you join us today for New Friends Luncheon. And please make sure you fill out a little guest card. And we promise not to fill your mailbox with junk mail. We just want to kind of say hello and meet you and get to know you a little bit. And so after service, if you would exit out of this door and kind of hang a left and go to our Common Grounds Cafe, we'd love to meet you there and give you a in-person handshake. It'd be awesome. Lots of things going on. Kickball tournament coming up. And I think we still have some spots open for that. We're a part of raising funds and awareness for the homeless, and they're having a kickball tournament. And so we got a team in this thing. So that's cool. Now what we need is actually the team. All right. So here's the thing. I mean, do some push-ups and squats and stuff. We want to win this thing. Show up. Boys and girls, all ages, August the 3rd. Point of contact's in there. Ebony James, please contact her if you want to interested in being part of the team. I'm looking through here, Helping Hands, the Chill and Grill Summer thing. This coming Wednesday, our youth and Impact and Rangers are all having a cookout on the front lawn, inflatables, games, all sorts of stuff going on there. The office is closed on July 4th. We'll reopen on the 5th. Live Out Loud, our kids' discipleship course during the week, starts on the, it says 7:10 through 8:28, all sorts. One Life Missions Trips, VBS, Mega Sports Camp. Our newest thing that we just launched are our marriage ministry small groups. Woo. Woo. That's what I heard. And so that's very cool. Three of them, different locations. Please check them out. And I want to encourage you to just don't check them out by looking at your bulletin and going, go. I kid you not. Whenever it comes to small groups, people who are in them absolutely love them. People who don't really think, I don't know if I want to be, you've probably never been. It's what I find. People who go, love it. We grow in the context of fellowship. And when you get with people who are in a like precious place, that is by which we learn and we are stretched and we become more like Christ. So check that out. Genesis chapter 1, we're going to get to it in just a minute. I hope that you are ready for summer because summer is upon us. I know when summer is official, and I'll tell you how I know when summer is official. I don't care what the calendar says. It's first official day. I know summer is here when one of my kids, who all school year could not wait to get out of school. I mean, anyone have kids every day, you kind of have to have that discussion about why they have to go to school. Dad, I don't want to go. I don't care. You're going, you know. But Dad, they're not going to do anything. Well, then you'll be good at it, okay? Go to school. And you know, you get into this whole thing, but summer is not official until once they're out, one of your children walks out of the playroom, say he's a boy, about yay high, and we call him, I don't know, Chase or something. And he comes out and he says, I am so bored. That's when I know summer is officially here. It has arrived. They can't wait to get out, and then they're bored out of their mind. It's just an amazing thing. There's nothing to do. So let me start by saying this. Aren't you glad that God doesn't take a summer break? I'm excited, and I want to say this, but I also want to challenge you in this. Listen, this summer, be faithful to the house of God. Okay? Be faithful to the house of God. One of the biggest lies of the enemy is that we don't need church. I don't really need to go to church. I can have my time with Jesus. You can, but you know what? That's partially true, but not the entire truth. We grow in context of fellowship. We need each other. We need to come together in corporate worship. We need to come together and be with other believers who are in the same journey that we're in and encourage one another and bless one another. You need to get your rumps out of bed and come to Sunday school and learn and grow and become more mature in the things of God and then come into a corporate gathering like this and let's worship God together and grow in Christ together. Because here's the thing, I find it amazing how we want God to be so much more faithful to us than we're often willing to be to Him. Okay, can we talk this morning? God doesn't take a summer break. No vacations. Now, I'm not saying you can't take vacations. Listen to me. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Be offended because you hear what I'm saying, not because you don't hear what I'm saying. All right? I'm not saying you can't take vacations. Please, go take your vacations. Do that. Go to the beach. Get burned. It'll be awesome. All right? I want to see the pictures on Facebook of your face all bright red. You know, time at the beach. You know, we got the zinc on your nose. We'd love to see those things. But listen, be faithful to the things of God this summer. All right? Your grass will still be there after church. Mow it then. Or God forbid, mow it on a Saturday. All right? Give God what is God's. All right? He's still God. He still has a plan. He's got a purpose for our summer. And so for the next couple of weeks, what we're going to do is we're gonna answer a couple of questions about our church. My thought was this. If someone was to come up to you and say, hey, listen, what is First AG about? If someone's to walk up to you, because we're supposed to be light into the world, right? All right, six of you. That's asking. All right, we're to be light into the world. We're to be people of influence, our neighborhoods, our jobs, our all of these places, because I am who Christ calls me to be. Wherever I am, I bring Christ with me. And where Jesus was, change happened. Amen? So if that is who we're all supposed to be, if someone comes up and says, hey, what is First AG about? We're going to take the next couple of weeks and we're going to talk about four core things that if somebody asks you, what is First AG about? What does your church expect of me? What do I need to do to be involved? What do I need to do to become a part of what God is doing at the church? Maybe you're new here, you started coming, but you haven't really connected into a ministry and you say, I don't really know how to go about doing that. Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to show you and lay out for you what you need to do to allow God to move in your life this summer at First Assembly of God. Okay? Y'all with me? So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at these things, and I'm going to give you a word every week that we're going to build the whole foundation of the message off of. So the title thing is, You Were Created to Be. They all start with B. It's going to be easy to remember. Believe that, all right? Believe that. I heard that. All right, you missed me. I've missed you guys too. So here's our four words for the next couple of weeks. The first one today is believing. Then we're going to talk about belonging. We're going to talk about becoming. And we're going to talk about building. All right, I want you to notice the emphasis is on being, not doing. I want to get that out there very quick. The emphasis is on being, not doing. All right, religion always tries to get us to do. God wants you to be. And it's clear that we understand that. It's important that we understand it. We are human beings, not human doings. We're human beings. God wants us to be. And if we simply will be what he's created us to be, then we will do what he wants us to do. So this week, we're going to look at the word believing. Now, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. If you're not taking notes, you should write this down. God created us with a purpose. Listen, you were created to be. And when you think about the word created, you have to go back to the very beginning when God created, back where God created. And I think that when you read the text today, you're going to see what I'm talking about. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and it says this, and God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. That's what he said. That's God's word. Let's pray right now. Father, we love you. We thank you. You're a good God, and we are people who need you. So, Father, work today in our midst. Stir our hearts. Stir our lives, God. Father, let us see this summer not as a time to drift or go, but as a time to dig and to go after you. Thank you for loving us and never failing us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. It says this, then God said, let us make man, all right, believing. That's really the believing portion we're going to be talking about. God created us to believe in him. In our image, belonging. We belong to Christ. He made us for himself. He made us to love him. According to our likeness, that's becoming. We are becoming like him, that we would be like him, that we may have dominion, which is building. Let his kingdom come. That's what the Lord's Prayer says. Amen? so that you and I here are about building his kingdom, building his presence in this place and wherever we are. So God wants us to believe in him, to know that we belong to him, to become like him, and to build his kingdom on this earth. Now I'm going to say this. I'm putting the ing on the end of everything because these words really imply that this, we are in a process. It is not a one-time thing and then we are done. There is a process of belonging, a process of becoming, a process of building, and a process of believing. Because if you don't see it as a process, what's going to happen is this. You might misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm saying, well, man, we need to believe today. And they say, well, Pastor, 20 years ago, I prayed that prayer and I believe. Well, that's good, but that's not exactly what I'm talking about. You may say, Pastor, you say belong. You say, well, I went to the class. I went to Real Life. I went online. I did the little survey thing, and you met with me, and you said you were the first person you ever met that had no spiritual gifts. And no, I didn't really say that. We always tell people they're going to take a test, and they go, what? And I always tell them, well, if you score low enough, we're going to trade you to a Baptist church for a couple of ushers. And you can do that. We can do anything. It's all good. It's all good. So you see, belong, to say belong is I did the class, I belong now. I mean, God's more than that. Be it become, well, I did the spiritual gift survey. I know my giftings, and so I've become that. I know who I am. Well, it's more than that. Bill, we've got, we gave to the building fund, or I gave to missions this morning. That's great, but listen, there's more to building than just throwing something in the plate. What we're talking about is a process. And it means this, a continuation of God's work and God's grace in your life. So while each of these things are moments, how many of you remember when you got saved? It was a wonderful moment. I got saved at 8 years old in a Dallas Home of Praise concert in a Coliseum in Richmond, Virginia. I was sitting there. The concert was over. I hated it. Absolutely hated it. I just sat there and I remember thinking, Jesus, I've heard about the second coming. Now would be perfect. And I did not want to go, and he came out at the end, and he began to talk a little bit about how God filled the emptiness in his life. And in that moment, I felt like I was the only person in the stadium. And at 8 years old, I held onto that chair, and I thought, how does this man know me? And it was amazing. Now listen, that was a moment. It was a moment. When I'm talking about these things, are, while they're moments, they're also momentum that carry us further in him and deeper in him. So while I was saved then, because of God's continuing grace and mercy and love for me and love for my life, I can grow in him to become more like him. So a moment creates momentum in us. That's why it's a process. When we talk about believing, there's the process of believing. You believe, but we also need to continue to believe in our heart. Now, God created you with purpose. So there's no one that is here today that was not created by the hand of God for the work of God. Look at your neighbor and say, you were created by the hand of God. Now, look at your other neighbor and say, for the work of God. All right, that's what it is. Now, it's a great thing. You have value because of who created you. Now, many of you may not know this. I mean, I stand up here every Sunday, and I tell you stories about my family, and it's a hoot to live in our house. It really is. I love it. I love my family, all their weird quirkiness. It's sad when I'm the most normal one. I'm pleading the fifth. I'm like that IRS lady. I'm gonna make a statement, then I'm gonna plead the fifth. I love living with my family. But I tell stories about them. I don't always tell a lot of stories about me. But I'm gonna toot my own horn a little bit because many of you may not know this, but I am a award-winning artist. I am. I don't know why y'all are laughing. I'm about to prove it. When I was in the fifth grade, what? I won an art contest for my school. They had someone, they said, we want you to make a safety poster. And listen, you're Prego, but you're pushing it. A safety poster, and my poster said, don't look down gun barrels. And the picture was this. I wonder if Picasso felt like this. And the guy, I will give it this. I won, there was a little grace because his neck was entirely too long. But he's looking like this, and there's a gun barrel, and there were like bullets flying out at his face. And they had an officer of the law come in and judge all the photos, all right? So it wasn't like my mom picked my painting, all right? This was a real deal. And I won first place. And because it's still true, don't look down a gun barrel, right? So I created timeless art, all right? Wow, man, yes. Sign autographs later. Now, I'll give you this. My art, my masterpiece does not carry the same value as The Starry Night by Vincent van Gogh or The Weeping Woman by Picasso because the creator adds value to it. Amen? You have to die. Well, I tried. I failed at that. I really do. I can't even succeed at dying, man. I never realized how big a loser I really am till this moment. Let's just go home and eat chocolate. But here's the thing. You were created by God. And because of your creator, you have value beyond what you understand and what you can even sometimes at most process. You are valuable because the hand of God shaped your life, and every person that is here today, there is so much value that is in you because you were handmade by the creator of this earth and our Savior and our Lord. Now, maybe your life went through some rough patches. Maybe you took a road that was the wrong path for your life for that time, but those things don't remove the value that your creator has placed inside of you. The value is there because of who God is. He placed it there. And I believe that there are things that God created your life to accomplish, to become, and to do that only your life can accomplish. And the thing is this, God doesn't make trophies, he makes disciples. God didn't create your life to hang on a church somewhere or just to sit in a pew somewhere and go, look what I've created. Look what I've done. He created us to become. He created us to believe. He doesn't have a trophy case to display his prizes. He doesn't give you life and create you with a purpose just to sit in a pew. Because here's the thing. If you sit in a pew long enough, you just end up sitting in your own pew. It'll hit you in a couple of minutes. I know. It'll come there. Maybe that'll be my next poster. God doesn't have a trophy case. He has a hall of faith. And what's a joy is this, when you read through his hall of faith in the book of Hebrews, I didn't read one perfect person. I read about liars. I read about people who wrestled with God. I read about people who doubted at times. I read about people who were as human as you are and as human as I am, but yet they understood that their lives were created with a purpose and they lived the process of believing and belonging and becoming and building. And I want you to know, no matter who you are, what you have or don't have, that you this morning were created with a purpose. And you need to understand that. Number two, God created us to believe him first. God created us to believe him first. Genesis 2, 15 to 17. Then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree you may eat freely, or you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. God created Adam and Eve with the desire that they would believe him. That's what he wanted. The tree of life is in the garden, the tree of death, knowledge of good and evil. And he says, listen, guys, don't eat that tree because if you eat that tree, you're going to die. You're going to spiritually die. And I don't want that for you. So please believe me and don't do that. You see, God never intended Adam and Eve to learn by falling. I want you to understand this. God did not desire for Adam and Eve to learn by falling. He didn't want them to learn by failing. He desired for them to learn by faith. He wanted them to simply believe him when he told them. He said, that tree is death. don't eat it. And he wanted them to believe what he said. But here's what happened, and here's what still happens today. See, the enemy shows up, and he does the exact same thing. The enemy wanted Adam and Eve to believe him. And so here Satan shows up and he says, you know what, Eve, God's holding out on you. God knows that when you eat that fruit, you know, your eyes are going to be open and you're going to be like God. It's going to be more fun after you eat that. Your life is going to be better after you eat that. God's keeping you from something. I want you to have anything your little heart desires. And so you ought to eat that fruit. God said this, please believe me and you'll live. Satan said, believe me and you'll live, but you're really going to die. Here's the lie. If you eat the fruit of the tree, you'll be like God. You know, even today when we sin, it's the same thing. Satan convinces us that we're missing out on something, that if we do this, we're going to be happier, that if we do this, we're going to be more at peace, and we're going to feel better about ourselves, and we're going to be more whole inside. And he tries to get us to step out. Now, according to the scripture, the word happy comes from the word blessed. In Ephesians 1:3, it says that we have already been blessed with every spiritual gift, every spiritual blessing. So when we accept Christ, if we already have received every spiritual blessing that we discover by living a life that honors him, how can you get more than everything? Do you see the lie in the whole thing? So Satan comes along and says, you'll be happier if you sin, and I'm telling you, it's a lie. And if we believe enough little lies along the way, how many know we're in for a big fall? God never wanted Adam and Eve to learn by experience. He wanted them to learn by believing him. People have said, and I truthfully, I've even said that experience is a great teacher. But truthfully, experience is cruel. Experience just doesn't care. It is what it is. It's a brutal teacher. Faith is the best teacher. I don't think there's a parent here that wants their child to learn by experience. Do you want your child to be in a car accident so they understand that they shouldn't text while driving? That's absurd. That's absurd. You're at a restaurant and the waitress or the waiter comes and they bring the plate and they set it in front of you and they always say this, listen, this plate is really hot. Do you know, every time, Bob, every time, I'm thinking, you don't know me. You're not the boss of me. And I read to it, oh, man. And my wife goes, she told you it was hot. And I carefully, lovingly respond, you know the way I am. Listen, God doesn't want you to learn by falling or failing. He wants you to learn by faith and by believing in him. That's why he wants us to learn. Listen to some of these scriptures. I have several scriptures I'm going to give you. And I'm just going to read through them. They're going to try to throw them up there. You can write down the references, look them up later. Numbers 14:11. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? Deuteronomy 1:32. Yet for all that you did not believe the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 9:23. Likewise, when the Lord said to you at Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up, possess the land which I've given you. Then you rebelled against the command of your Lord, your God, and you did not believe him nor obey his voice. Listen, the only reason that we rebel and don't obey God is because we don't believe. That's the only reason. Chronicles 20:20. So they rose early in the morning and they went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And there they went out and Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. John 3:12 through 18. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 6, 28-29, then he said to them, what shall we do that we may know the works of the Lord? This is the Pharisees talking to him. And listen, again, religion always talks in terms of what? Of doing. That's what they say. What shall we do? Listen to Jesus' answer. And Jesus said to them, it is the work of God that you what? That you believe in him who sent me. Religion always says do. God says be. It's about believing. God wants us to believe him, okay? Number three, God created us to believe in him last. He created us to believe in him first. He also created us to believe in him last. Romans 10, 9 through 13. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is over the rich to all who call upon him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, you will be saved. It tells us this, there's a beginning to salvation. People who think, well, we're all God's kids because God created us. We all come from him, so we're all going to end up back with him. All right, that is a lie of the enemy. We must know him as our Lord and our Savior to be with him one day in glory. There is a beginning to salvation. Now, I want to say this. We are saved by grace. There is no way to deny that. To deny that, we have to deny scripture to say otherwise. It is by grace, through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But here's my question. Do I believe once and then live like I want to? John 20, 31 says this, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, I love this, with the ing, believing you may have life in his name. Listen, I want you to remember there's a difference between eternal life and abundant life. This is a pretty critical thing for anyone who's a believer. There's a difference between eternal life and abundant life. 1 John 5:13, and these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. That you may know, it means this, we don't have to wonder, we don't have to assume, you don't have to be here today and say, you know what, if I was to die right now, I think maybe possibly I could be going to heaven. Scripture says that we can know. When you have given your life to Jesus and you say, God, I believe in you, you can know that you are safe. You can know that you are with him. You can know that you're a daughter or a son of a living God who's going to make a way for you, who's asking, saying, believe in me. You can know these things. See, believing is how, let me step back. We don't have to assume or wonder. Believing God first is how we receive eternal life. When you ask him to be your Lord and Savior, you have eternal life. Receiving him last is how we have abundant life. Okay? Let me explain that. There are people who believe and ask Jesus to be their Savior but are not living an abundant life because they have not continued to believe him in some area of their life. God, I want you as my Savior, but I also want you as my co-pilot. I'll drive, but you just kind of give directions, and if I feel like listening to them, I'll take them. Seriously. That'd be ridiculous. Who would buy a GPS just to argue with it? on occasion, GPS is they're either godsends or they're demonic. There's really no middle ground. And I have at one time or another uttered, you are not the boss of me. To mine. But here's the thing. So we say, God, I want you to save my soul, but I don't really necessarily want to live a life of obeying what you want me to do. It doesn't make sense. Why would we do that? And there's so many people who you know what, you've given your life, your heart to Jesus, you're saved, you're going to heaven, but you're not necessarily experiencing abundant life because you are not living your life saying, God, I want to do my life your way and not my way. See, we need to believe, but we also need to live a life believing. The continuation of God's work in us, the continuation of his grace, the continuation of his purpose being created in our hearts and through us. Whatever area of life that you're not believing God in is an area that you're not experiencing abundant life. Jesus is the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Hebrews 12, 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the what? The finisher of our faith. He says, I created you to believe me first, And I've created you to believe me last. And so the process of all of that works out. I'm going to ask you something. Who has the last word in your life? When it comes to the way you live, when it comes to the decisions that you make, I mean, who has the last word when it comes to whether you're going to stay married or not? Who has the last word when it comes to whether you're going to look at porn or not? Who has the last word when it comes to whether you're gonna tithe or not? Who has the last word when it comes to whether you're going to pray for or get even with that person who's talked about you behind your back? Who has that last word? And it needs to be God. You see, if you have the last word, then you're not living the abundant life. You say, well, Pastor, I believed. But here's the thing. If you're not continuing to believe, then we aren't experiencing in the abundant life that God promises us. Another way of saying this is this. Does Jesus have the last word in your life? Does Jesus have the final say about the decisions that you make? See, will you believe him for your finances? Will you believe him for your family? Will you believe him for your job? Will you believe him for your health? Will you believe him for your marriage or the victory over the issue that you've been fighting all these years? 21 years I've been in ministry. Can I tell you the two toughest areas to get people to believe? 21 years, I'm going to give you the second one first. The second thing that I find people have the hardest time believing God for is their finances. It's not number one. People wrestle and struggle because God's numbers are different than the numbers we were taught in school. We sit there and we think, even though God says 90% with God's blessing is going to go further than 100% not blessed. We hear it, we know it, it's not complicated. We can read it, you can buy books on it and read it. You can ask somebody mature in faith who seems to have a very healthy walk with Christ, ask them. I'll guarantee this will be one of the key things they talk about in growing with Christ and knowing Christ is faithfulness and our stewardship. But we hear it and we hear it and we hear it. And so many people wrestle with trusting God with the finances of their life. And I know what the stronghold is. That Jesus said it. He lays it out. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And if you're here today and you have a problem with tithing, you have a heart problem. It's not a money problem. It's a heart problem. Whether you give or not tells where your heart is. And the odd thing is, why would we even argue about this? Because Jesus says this, when you honor me with your giving, I'm going to break the curse over you. I'm going to rebuke the devourer, and I'm going to open the windows of heaven over your life. Well, why in the world would we want that? Listen, obviously it is a stronghold, and obviously this is an area that we simply don't believe God in. If you believe something, you do it. And if you don't do it, you can't say, I believe it. First thing, number two is finances. You know the number one thing that people have a hard time trusting God with, and it might surprise you, is marriage. Marriage. You'd be amazed. Maybe you wouldn't. I don't know. Marriage. Pastor, I don't love them anymore. Pastor, they've been this way so long, they're never going to change. Pastor, I don't know what to do anymore. I'm just going to live my life, and I'm going to do my thing, and they're going to do their thing, and I'm going to try to honor them. And yeah, we're martyrs now. I'm a martyr in my faith. I said, do you believe God does miracles? Well, yeah. Do you believe God can do a miracle in your marriage? And you know what? I see people sit there and wrestle with that question. Because it's hard. Can you believe God can touch a body? Yes, I do. Do you believe God can touch those who are bound and see them set free? Absolutely, amen. Can God change the heart of your spouse? Well, I don't know. I mean, I've been trying for years, and if I can't, I don't know. Listen, if you will believe God, God can restore anything. And God can make it better than it ever was, and you can not just fall in love again. You can fall in love deeply. Love them for who God created them to be. And you can become stronger and better than it ever was, but it all depends on the voice that you're going to listen to. Because we're still in the garden, there are still two trees. There's a tree of life, and there's a tree of you can figure out what's good for your own life, and we're going to eat the fruit of something. Still two voices saying, believe me, saying, trust me. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, all of you are going to be able to make a choice if you're going to believe or not. And when we believe in Jesus, we receive eternal life. But when you continue to believe and live a life believing, it's then and only then that we receive abundant life. But those of you that are here this morning that have decided to follow him, to look to him as Savior, I celebrate that you believe in him. But I want to leave you with this question. What area this morning do you need to begin again believing him for? Because God calls us to believe and to live a life believing. Amen? Can I get you to bow your heads? Listen, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you this morning through this message? Because I'm going to tell you something, I know this. I know that you're sitting in your seat and you know what you're hearing. You're hearing the same two voices that have been heard through the generations, that have been heard all the way back to the garden. Some of you are here today and you know what? You know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But if I was to ask you, are you living an abundant life? You would have to say no, no. Just seems like it's battle after battle and it's struggle after struggle. And it's just it seemed like it's one painful thing. And my life is not about abundance. My life feels like it's just about survival. I'm just trying to survive. Listen, what area of your life do you need to believe God in again? Maybe it's the finances thing. Because the amazing thing is this, you'll never be able to afford to tithe until you tithe, because it's tithing that removes the curse. And stewardship isn't just about money. I don't ever want to talk about stewardship and have it just be money. Man, listen, this is about your time. This is about your talents, your abilities, the gifts that God's given you to give. Maybe you've been coming and you've just been sitting in the pew so long. It's, too busy to do this, too busy. God's saying, listen, you got to get out of the pew and you need to get involved in believing and being a part of the kingdom. You have abilities. You've got talents and God is challenging you. Believe me for these things. Sign up for a mission trip. Sign up for a Sunday school class. Get involved in a small group. Do something. Don't just sit there every week and receive and receive and receive and receive, because you're going to spiritually become lazy. And when people are so full, we get picky about what we eat. God says, I want you hungry. I want you hungry for me. I want you to believe and I want you to live a life believing. Ask the Holy Spirit this morning, what area of my life do I need to continue to believe? What area do you need to trust him more? Maybe you need to bring your marriage to this altar. Maybe you need to bring your kids to the altar. Maybe you need to bring your relationship with God, your job, your future. Your future is such a big thing. Doesn't that loom over our heads? Maybe you need to stop being afraid and come to the place that you step out with God and say, you know what, God? I trust you. And I'm going to trust you by honoring every day that you give. And tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up, and I know I can either believe in myself or I can believe in you, but tomorrow morning, I'm going to believe in you. And I want to go through my day, and I want to honor you with what I say and with what I do. But God, it's not about the actions as much as it is the person I'm becoming. I believe, and I'm believing, continuing in the process of your grace and of your hand in my life, making me and shaping me to be what you desire me to be. You were created to be. Maybe you don't know him as Lord and Savior, and today you've been trying to have abundant life without having eternal life. And it never works. In Christ, we find joy and peace. In Christ is where the victory is won, and hope and true hope is found only in Him. And if this morning you need to start there, in just a moment, I'm going to open up these altars and we're going to invite people to come. But I want to tell you right now, I know some of you are hearing two voices. One is being very simple. One is saying, hey, I'm talking to you, and I want you to go. I want you to come to this altar, and I want you to commit to me, and I want you to say, God, I'm yours, and pray about whatever it is that's in your spirit, the area of your life that maybe you've not really believed God in or believed God for. That's the area that God wants you to bring. And I know that there's another voice in your head that's saying, you know what, just stay where you're at. You're fine. This is just some emotional thing. You'll be fine. Two voices. Same two voices in the garden. The same two voices today. You're going to choose in just a moment to believe one.
If you'd like to learn more about living a life in Jesus Christ or would like prayer, please contact our church office at area code 703-748-0339.